Bibles and turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. This morning I'm going to be speaking to you on the subject of remembering. Remembering. Beginning in verse 12, "Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus hath showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance." You know, some folks are always looking for some new thing, some new doctrine. We saw that even of the Athenians in Acts 17. It said they spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. People are always looking for some new thing. There's something that is more important than some new thing. It's that when we have found the truth, that we hold to it and we don't forget it. When we have found the truth, we hold to it and we don't forget it. You know, we live in a nation that was founded upon many of the truths of God's Word. A result has been the blessing of God and a nation that has affected a good part of our entire world. But as the truths of God are being forgotten, turned from, and rejected, we are falling into the same pitfalls of past nations, and we are headed for God's judgment. We see that happening in our country. We see what's happening when men forget what we were founded upon. They forget our Constitution. We find that even in our courts, many times they're sitting and they're forgetting the very basics of what they're supposed to be upholding. In another realm, and that is the great Christian heritage that we have. Godly men, women, and children have suffered greatly in order to bring to our forefathers the precious gospel of Jesus Christ. God's word was given, believed, Jesus Christ received, new life given, and lives transformed. What a blessed Christian heritage that we have. But apostasy has taken its toll. Men have forgotten the truths of God's word. The very fundamental doctrines of his word are being rejected. And churches that once preached the gospel have become no more than social organizations and political platforms. Men that held to the fundamentals of God's word stood unapologetically for its truths. And out of the mainline denominations of the Baptists and the Methodists and the Presbyterians and those denominations came a new generation of Bible-believing fundamentalists. You know, when you hear the term fundamentalist as it relates to Bible believers, it's not the radicalism of the, you know, when you hear about the Muslim fundamentalists, I mean there's a those things are worlds apart. One is holding to the fundamentals of God's word. holding to the truths and not allowing those truths to be forgotten. Yes, we have today a new generation of Bible-believing fundamentalists that have not forgotten the truths of God's Word. These men left the unbelieving liberal denominations because they remembered that God's Word told them to come out from among them and be ye separate, and to come away from the unbelief. So they were called biblical separatists because they remembered God's Word and what God's Word said. If you didn't figure it out, you're getting a little history this morning as we're in the beginning of this message. But a new generation of men that arose that had not remembered the Scriptures commanded separation from unbelief. They instead wanted to infiltrate the unbelieving churches and seek to reform them. They termed themselves the new evangelicals. That was not a term that was given to them by the fundamentalists. That was a term they took on themselves. They had a new idea that seemed better than the scriptural command to come out from among them and be separate. Then today we have another new generation. Today there's another new generation coming out of the fundamental camp. They call themselves, some of them, the young fundamentalists. They too are not remembering God's word and want to tear down the separation walls of protection that have been built by their forefathers, of the forefathers of their faith. They want to bring in the intellectuals and the worldly music and the social gospel. They're falling into the same trap as the new evangelicals of the past. For the sake of the gospel, they're willing to forget some of God's other truths about holiness and separation. Because men forget God's word is then forgotten. Soon it's not only forgotten, but it's forsaken, and ultimately it is despised. We find there are sections of God's word that are despised today. Peter, in these verses that we're looking at this morning, and Peter, in where he's headed in this passage, and later on, he will be warning against false prophets. He knows that for the believers, the defense and the safekeeping of the gospel will be in the truths that they possess within themselves. Thus, in these verses this morning, he calls them to remembrance. He calls them to remembrance. If we don't remember, then we'll forget. We don't realize how much we lose when we don't remember. And then soon, we despise that which is the basic truths of God's word. So Peter, in verse 12, he says, "Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth." In verse 12, Peter emphasizes the obligation that he has of bringing these people to remembrance. He says, "I will not be negligent." He had a great care for the believers. He had a care for those of his brethren. He knew that there was need that the truths would, because their truths could be so easily forgotten. You know, One of the blessings of our having the Old Testament scriptures, of course, we understand much of the new because it was just a building from the old. But one of the things in the Old Testament scriptures that we see again and again is that how Israel forgot the things that God had done for them. And they forgot the truths that were there. In Psalm 106, just to pull a few verses out of Psalm 106, as the psalmist here is recounting some of Israel's history and what they had. In the 10th verse, he says, "He saved them from the hand of him that hated them and redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. And the waters covered their enemies, and there was not one of them left. Then believed they his words and sang his praise." But look at verse 13. "They soon forgot his works. They waited not for his counsel." That is something that was not just Israel. That's something we see being played out today among us. Men soon forget his works and wait not for his counsel. Peter was not negligent. He saw the obligation that he had. These folks need to remember the truths that they have. And in the second part of the verse, he says, "to put you always in remembrance." Remembrance must be continual. This is always, perpetually, at any and every time, a continual remembrance. Many times we have looked at that passage in Deuteronomy chapter 6, and it begins in verse 4 where the Lord told Israel, he says, "The words that I command thee shall be in thy heart." The 7th verse says, "You shall teach them diligently unto thy children." And it says, "And you shall talk of them when thou sittest down in thy house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down." And then in the 8th verse, it says, "You shall bind them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates." I mean, he wanted them to remember his word. He wanted to make sure that wherever they went, they saw God's word, that it was being spoken, that it was being taught to them, that it was being underlined, that it was, you know, he goes on in these verses, and he says in the 12th verse, "Then beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee out of the land of Egypt." After all that, he says, "Oh, beware. Don't forget the Lord that brought you out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of bondage." Yes, Peter saw that obligation, that I must tell them, I must bring them to remembrance. This is something that's got to be continual. And he's letting them know in the end of this, in the last two parts of this 12th verse, is that past knowledge is not sufficient. What does he say there? He says, though ye know them. I've heard people say, "Well, I've read the scripture. I went to Sunday school when I was a kid. You know, I mean, I went there. I've had people tell me, I went when I was a kid. You know, we went to Sunday school every Sunday. We went Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night, and it was like, I know all there is to know. I don't need it now." Oh. And if you observe someone like that, you'll see that if they knew it, oh, how much they've forgotten. Oh, how much they've forgotten. It is such a sad thing for people It's a sad thing for us to just rest on our past knowledge. We need to be, those things need to be brought to our remembrance. And be established in the present truth. That word established there is a word, of course, we understand established to be settled in. It has also the idea to be strengthened. It's a word for strengthening. It's for shoring up. We need a continual undergirding of the truth. We need a continual shoring up of that which we already have. When I went to my computer this morning to add some notes to the message here, when my computer comes on, one of the first things that comes up is the weather bug, and it flashes up there, and there was the little red light flashing. Well, what's that flashing for now? Not snow again this morning, is it? No, this time it was flood warnings. You know, floods advisory. They've had flood advisories that are issued that because I'm sure it's because I didn't go on and read about it, but it's because of the warming temperatures and the melting snow. You know, it's interesting. You go down to Mount Vernon, and when you if you go into 229 and you turn there at the traffic light and head into town, there's a levee that goes along there. That levee's there for a reason. It's there because, you hardly ever see. You wonder why is that levee there? I mean, it doesn't seem to have any good purpose there. But when the floodwaters start to rise, when you get a condition like we've had, and the ground is frozen, and there's snow, and especially then it starts to rain, and boy, all of a sudden all this water comes down, and it comes up. Then when the water starts to rise, people look at that and I wonder if it's strong enough. I wonder if it's going to hold. If the floods come, is there going to be erosion? Are there weak areas that are there? Are there things that need shored up? One of the things that they found, you know, that had happened down in New Orleans a few years ago when those floods came, was that they knew there were weak spots, but one of these days we're going to have to fix those, you know. One of these days, but there was no strengthening. There wasn't that had taken place to seek out and to find those weak areas. And that's the word that he's using here. We need the strengthening from the Word of God. We need to have that, you know, the past knowledge is not sufficient. There needs to be a remembering of that. There needs to be a strengthening of it, a shoring up. You see, the onslaughts of false teachers are constantly being shot at the foundation of your faith. Your present foundation needs to be built, needs to be strengthened. How's that happening? That's why Peter says, boy, I'm not going to be negligent. I'm going to have you remembering those things that God's Word has said. How quick we are to forget things. You know, there was very little that was said during our week of meetings that somewhere along the line I hadn't heard and I didn't know. How about you that were here? Was there, you know, there might have been some things brought out that maybe say, hey, oh, I didn't see that or quite understand it that way, but boy, did we need those meetings? Did we need to hear those things from God's Word? Did it shore up? Did it help strengthen us and understand, hey, that's what God's Word says? And you know, I think I've kind of forgotten that. I don't think I've been doing that the way I need to be doing that. You know, that's what Peter says. That's That's why Peter's writing this book, that he can put it down, that they would see the, I mean, he did not want to be negligent. He did not want to fail to do something that he saw was an obligation that he had as he had the truth to put them in remembrance. Now in verse 13, he speaks, I believe, here of the urgency. He speaks here of the urgency. He says, yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. He says, I think it's, the word meet there is the word, this is the right thing to do. This is a righteous thing to do. This is something that I need to do before God. He says, the meet thing for me to do, the right thing before God for me to do, is that for the duration, as long as I live in this tabernacle, he says, boy, as long as I have the opportunity here, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, what tabernacle? He's talking about his body. You know, this, what you see here is not me. What you see here is just the tent that I live in. This is the tabernacle. This is the tent that God has given me. So I have this tent that I live in. And Peter is saying, as long as I am in this tent, as long as I am here, there's an urgency. There's an urgency here that I must put you in remembrance. I often wonder about the Army chaplain that I heard speak when I was in college at a youth rally that I went to. I often wonder about him, the man that told us to study the scripture there as youths so we didn't have to when we got as old as he was. And he wasn't all that old, but when we got as old as he was, then we wouldn't have to do it so much, because it was like he thought he had arrived. I often think about that man, and I think, oh, how much, I wonder what happened to him spiritually, because such a foolish thing to say. It's like saying, we don't need to check the levees. We don't need to worry that there might be some cracks, that there might be some holes, that there might be some things that are there that need to be cared for. One of the things that they hadn't shown up for a while, but Jerry had show up at the camp this year, some inspectors that came to inspect the dam. And the dams, we have two of them there. And you know, one of the things that they look for is if there are trees there on that dam, because they've found that, you know, you can have a big tree and it gets its roots, and its roots grow in through and looking for water, and then the tree dies and the roots deteriorate and there's a hole that goes through, and a dam can be washed out. You know, it is so foolish to say, I'll just depend on the past. You know, we don't go back and examine. We don't shore it up. The psalmist declared, I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. How do you keep from forgetting the word? Isn't it a blessing that God has given us his word? Amen. You know, God decided... Well, I say he decided. that's almost a misnomer. I think of the statement, did it ever occur to you that nothing ever occurred to God? You know, I mean he. But in God's plans, he knew that we needed things written down. We needed that we could go back and see it. And the psalmist, so many times, Psalm 119 is such a blessing. It's a large psalm, but it's all about God's word. It's all about the importance of God's word. It's all about that you know, David says, that's where my mind is. That's where I'm going to continually meditate. I'll delight myself in God's word because I do not want to forget his word. But what do? Well, we get, I should do like the speaker did, to warn you that it's coming. But, you know, we should not be going to sleep. Wake up! See, I warned you. See, then I tried, a little bit I warned you. Remember, it wasn't nice of the speaker to do that. He said, now it's coming. He warned you more than that. He said, now it's coming. And then he shouted, you know, so he didn't jump out of your skin. But that's what this passage is saying here. That's what this passage, when it says, I think it meet as long as I'm in this temple to stir you up. That is the word stir up, is to wake up. And it's like, you know, some of you and you came by it. As you should have. You wore yourself down this week. You got tired. You know, I mean, you were here every night. You know, but we can start to get lethargic, and not hear, not remember. And so that's why he says, "I've come to stir you up, to wake you up." To wake you up by putting you in remembrance. Oh, how important it is to be, you know, whenever God's word is being preached, we have to say, I'm going to be there. I'm going to see what God has. You know, as I admonished you each night, stop and ask the Lord, you know, before the word is preached, Lord, what do you have for me? Because God's word is there. It is there. It is quick. It's powerful. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. It is there to minister to us. And we want to get everything we can. Ephesians 5, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Ephesians 5:14 says, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest. That's the same word as used as stir up here in this passage. When he says, awake thou that sleepest, arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Redeem the time because the days are evil. We need to be stirred up by the things of God. God's word is under attack in our country as never before in our nation's history. The days are evil. How we need to wake up. How we need to wake up and remember be in God's word, that you remember the things that are there. Don't become lethargic thinking that, I think I remember what God's word says about that. I won't go back and check. I'll just, you know, it's a little fuzzy, but I think I'll remember it. No, that's why we commit God's word to memory. So that we've got it ingrained in us, and that's why we come back and we study it. I looked in a number of years ago when I preached through this passage of scripture. These verses were just kind of tacked on the end, and I really hadn't emphasized these verses at all. And I thought, whoa. We need a message on those verses themselves, that we remember the things of God's word. And then you look at, wait a minute, I didn't do the rest of verse 14. 14, it says, knowing that shortly I must put off this tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. You know, Peter didn't want to lose the opportunity. He saw the urgency of caring for things now. He saw the urgency of doing it now. He said,
He said, what's he saying there about put off his tabernacle? He says, I'm going to die. I'm going to die. The Lord Jesus had revealed to him that he would not die a natural death. If you would remember, and you would go back to John chapter 21, in verses 18 and 19, the Lord said, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself, you walked where you would want, but when thou shalt be old, you'll stretch forth your hands, another shall gird thee and carry you whither you would not. And then it says, this spake he concerning what death he should glorify God. When he had spoken this, then he said, follow me. Peter realized, you know, the Lord warned me when he made that statement, you're not going to die because of old age. Somebody else, your life is going to be taken from you. Peter realized here as he's in this book, and Peter lived quite some time after the Lord had said that to him. But Peter recognized, you know, my time is coming. And it's going to be premature in the sense of the way man would look at it because my life is going to be taken. And he says, because I know that I must put off this tabernacle even as the Lord showed me, that's why I think it's urgent, that it's necessary, that it's right that I put you in remembrance. Oh, the lost opportunities. How many things do we put off? You know, I ought to deal with this with my family. I ought to, you know, there's some scriptural principles here we ought to be dealing with, but we'll do it later. You know, Steve Lewis talked as we've talked there in the hospital. He says, I had no idea. You know, I mean, he said he looked up and all these people are around him and he says, am I all right? And they says, well, you are now. and then he says, oh, that doesn't sound good. You are now. You know, I mean, it was the idea. His life would have been gone. If that had been the Lord's choice to take him at that point, there would have been no more opportunity to say a thing to his wife, to say a thing to his children. His life would have been gone. If we lived each day of our life recognizing that this could be my last breath, would we not redeem the time? Would we not buy up the opportunities that we have? Would we not see that as much as is in us, that we would do that's going to be of benefit? And Peter recognized the greatest benefit that we have are those things that are true, those things of God's word. And so he says, because I know that my life is going to soon be taken, I'm using this time wisely. And then look at what else he says in verse 15. He sees the need of continuance. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. I will endeavor. I will labor. He says, I'm going to use my efforts so that when I leave in death, there's going to be that is left that is going to help you continue in the truth. You know, you kind of get the idea that Peter wanted his life to count for Christ. And even after he died, that there would be that he would leave that which would leave in continuance, where people would remember and know the truth. What a blessed thing that is when when someone lives their life with that kind of a burden, with that kind of a care for those around them. You know, some people live their lives, I'll live it, get what I can get out of it, and when I'm gone, so what to anybody else? And there are those that live their lives, oh, that I want to live my life for the Lord. I want to help those around me to be steadfast in the truth. And after I'm gone, I want to leave as much as I can that will remind them of the things and the truths of God's word. What a blessing. What a blessing. You know, when I was doing this, my mind had to go to the booklet that my mother had us make up. That was to be there for our remembrance of the goodness and the graciousness of her God. So that even after she was gone, that those things that were so precious, the truths of God that were so precious to her would not be forgotten. So that at her funeral there would be a distribution of these things. So it wasn't just what I want the preacher to say, but it's things I'd like to have written down so that... And first of all, she wanted to make sure that her kids didn't forget, you know. And then the extended church family. That's the kind of a burden that Peter has here, and that it would be always in remembrance. You know, I think of some passages of Scripture back in Proverbs 22. It says, "Remove not the ancient landmarks which thy fathers have set." Remove not the ancient landmarks which thy fathers have set. You know, if you have a good godly heritage, and here in our church, we have a tremendous spiritual heritage of ones that have stood before us, of ones that have stood against the apostasy, against the turning from God's word, and they have stood and they have left for us a legacy of truth where we have in our hands here the precious word of God that has been not just been available in the world, but that it's been handed to us by godly men and women that have stood for the Lord and stood for His truth and have sought to teach and proclaim it. We have that legacy. What happened as I gave you a little of that history of the apostasy and the fundamentalists, and then the new evangelicals, and then those that are coming in, tearing down some of the walls that were biblically set up to help to keep us pure as a local church. What's going to keep this church pure? What's going to give a heritage, a spiritual heritage, a spiritual legacy that will be there for our children? You know, I trust you don't just come. You don't just come to church, to the assembly, to be fed for the moment, but that we might hold the ancient landmarks that have been set. That we might see them not tore down. That we might put in place those things that will hold us to the truth of God's word. That we not leave it. That we not forget so quickly what has been there. You know, it's been said many times, and it is so true. It's been played out in churches across America. We are only one generation away from apostasy. We're only one generation away from apostasy. if we remove the ancient landmarks, if we don't hold as we ought, if we don't leave to our children that to which they will hold, if we don't see that this is kept, that it's kept in remembrance, that they understand God's word, and we don't see that we don't leave things that they don't forget God's word. You know, I've seen historically in our country, if you were to trace through some of the great men that have stood in our days, it's been some of their children that have gone and tore down and have apostatized and have led to where we are spiritually in our country. It's come out of the same, sometimes out of the same families. I think of old Dr. Woodbridge. I think of Carl McIntyre. Some of these that I've known personally and seeing with their children. Oh, that we would see the necessity of the standing. Well, our time is up. I would just say, oh, that we would keep in remembrance the precious things of our God. That we would see the importance of leaving that legacy. That we would see the importance of buying up every opportunity that we have. Seeing what is it that we are showing is important? Is it the truths of God's word that's important to us? Or is it some hobby that we have that's important to us? What is it that drives your life? What drove Peter's life? The same thing that drove Paul's. That I may please him who hath called me. Shall we pray? Oh, thank you, Lord, for your word. Lord, help us to keep your truths in remembrance. Help us, Lord, to keep your word before us. And Lord, how we thank you that we have in our day the opportunity that in every home, and really in every child's hands, there is a Bible. Thank you, Lord, that we have that opportunity. But Lord, possessing that in our hands does not bring to remembrance that which needs to be in our hearts, in our minds. Lord, help us. Help us, Lord, to continually put to remembrance the things of our God. And Lord, how we thank you for the precious word that you have seen that it is written down. It has been given to us through the instrument of the Holy Spirit of God, that we have your truth in writing. How we thank you for that, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.